Good morning. We're on a journey this summer, and I hope that you have, if you have not picked up a reading plan yet, that you will go ahead and pick up a reading plan so that you can follow along with us, because this journey through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I think will be, not only going to be fun, but it will be transformational. So if some of you have already started it, you'll know that there's some videos that go along with the reading plan. And those videos are very explanatory to what the books and why they've been written. And so if you're on your smartphone app, you'll have that as a benefit to you. If you don't have a smartphone, you want to do it by computer, you can do it that way. But I just want to encourage you that as we start to dive in and learn Jesus, to live Jesus, we will actually start to see some more traction in our lives that we've never ever seen before. I mean, it's just the way the Word works in us and through us, and so we want to see ourselves get into that. So if you haven't picked up, I want you to go ahead and do that. Now, for those of you who are in families or you're a couple or whatever, I want to give you a couple of suggestions and maybe how you could use it to add a little more spice, a little more flavor, a little more traction to how this can be used for you as you journey through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John this summer together, as we do it all together. And one is to just do it at the table. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about the table can be a sacred place? Well, let's redeem the table as a sacred place. If some of you have not eaten at the table in a long time, this would be one of those places where, hey, Pastor Steve told us we had to. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to do anything, but I think that one way to get traction is to do that. So sit down with yourselves, if you're set as a family, listen to it together. You can actually read it together, listen to it together, and then guess what? Here are a few questions you can ask. I didn't write these down. You can write them down if you want, but they're not in your notes. You know, what is God's Spirit revealing to me about God's Word? Just simply that. What is God's Spirit revealing to me about God's Word? And talk about it as a family. 3-year-olds can talk about this. I'm telling you, they can. And that means that a 90-plus-year-old can talk about this at the table. It's a wonderful opportunity. Another question you might want to ask is, how does this passage direct me to live out love? To live out love. If Jesus is calling us, if we've just sung about this idea of God's reckless love, if Jesus is calling us to love in the same way, then how does he want me to love in that same way? What is he showing to me that we need to live out? This is one thing I probably know in a crowd like this. Many of us have read pieces of the Gospels, but not all of us have read the Gospels through and through. And so challenge yourself. Step into it by the Spirit's help, not by my direction, please, because it won't go anywhere, I promise you. You know, when somebody tells you to do something, you go, well, he told me to do it. Guess what? It doesn't work. So if you feel that, I want you to step into it because it's part of our whole journey this summer together. And I know some of you aren't out yet from school, or your kids are still in school. You're kind of like, is it really summer? It's not June 21st. Well, kind of, we're in summer. So why don't you join us in this 90-day journey of reading through the Gospels, 90 days, and you can pick those out in the back. Well, isn't it great to be able to celebrate our high school and university grads? I mean, isn't it great? Some of us remember taking our kids to their classroom, right? I mean, we remember walking them down. I remember going to my classroom. That just tells you I'm not as old as you might think I am. Okay, maybe I am. But do you remember those first days? My kindergarten was actually, it wasn't a one-room schoolhouse, but it's going to sound like it. Our kindergarten actually sat behind the elementary school, and so we actually had our own little sidewalk we walked down, and I remember one of those first days, my mom, you know, for various reasons wasn't there, but I had some other people take me, but I remember, you know, being walked down, and do you remember, you know, just the whole idea of having half-day kindergarten? Okay, I don't want to rile any feathers here, but you remember that? And then the idea of having a nap. You know that that was not for you as a kindergartner, right? That was for the sanity of the teacher. Man, I mean, they just need it. It's survival, right? If for no one else, it was for the teacher. But that was the foundation of the educational process, right? I mean, it started at home, but we often kind of lay the groundwork at that door of the educational process, right? We entered school officially. All sorts of things start to happen at that point. We start to learn some, if we didn't have it before, we'll start to learn some social cues. We realize that some people eat their dessert first, and you were told never to do that. It happened to me. I was like, what? Lance, why are you eating your dessert first? I said, because in case there's a fire, you know? I mean, so you start to learn some of these things from other kids, right? And all the world around us, we begin to build a foundation for our life way before that, though, right? With our parents and our grandparents. And some of us may have this kind of reflection and recollection that maybe that foundation wasn't all that you thought it should be, especially when you started comparing notes when you got home, got to school. But we all have a foundation. We all have this thing that was laid before us. Well, Scripture talks about that too. Scripture talks about a foundation that needs to be laid in our lives, that God designed and planned for us. Now, our moms and dads were supposed to be a part of that. If you read anything of Deuteronomy 6, you realize that moms and dads and grandparents were supposed to be part of that foundation of telling the stories of not about your ABCs, which that was a part of it, not about maybe all the social cues, but really about what God had done and what he was doing in our lives. In Genesis 3 in the Bible, we are told that Adam and Eve took charge of their own lives, though. And when they started to take charge of their own lives, instead of letting God lead as he designed and desired for them, they started to create a faulty foundation that broke, that actually shattered. The very desire and design of God died because they took charge of their own lives. They said, I want to be in charge. I don't care what God says, but I want to do it my way. And because of that, the road ended. Death occurred. It's not just the forgiveness of sins. It's really, that's where life ended. Really understand that, don't we? Spiritually, it ended. Physically, they continued, but only to die one long death. So their desire, their eating that was forbidden, gave birth to sin. James tells us about this, and gave birth to death. The foundation desired for them crumbled. God's desire and design for them fell apart. We learned that. If you didn't learn that, you can read that in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 and find out that God's desire and design crumbled. This is what we find out, though, is the foundations are crucial, aren't they? Some of us are builders or have built or put things together, and we find out that foundations are crucial. Let's take a look at a few houses, if you will. In this first house, you'll find that if your foundation is not done well, you might just not be able to stand. It starts to, over a period of time, in fact, this is the incredible thing with foundations. You may not notice it initially. In fact, you probably will not notice it for the first little while. It's like our front step. They were putting foundations in, pouring the cement so quick that they didn't allow the soil around our front step to settle, and so it settled not away, you know, not keeping this concrete up, but our step now is a big step. Some of you know that, is a big step into our house, right? So what happens is we start to crumble, right? And we have to ask ourselves, who is building houses like this? Who's creating foundations that over a period of 20 or 30 years just begin to almost implode on themselves, kind of crumble into themselves? Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? Is it Instagram? Is it that book, You're Okay, I'm Okay? I don't know. I mean, right, who's laying the foundation? Who's helping us to understand what we see in life, what we hear in life, what we learn and experience? Who is putting that through a filter of truth? Who's asking us the questions that which help us to lay the foundations of our lives that will last forever? In the second house, you have to ask the question, not only who is building your house, but what are the materials of your foundation? You know, what are you building on? I don't know if anybody can stand in this house. I mean, you know, it's interesting. So we kind of have to ask ourselves the question, who's building these houses? What's the latest trend that would want us to even think about living in something like this? Now, maybe the floors are level inside, but outside it looks pretty bad. Who's asking us the questions about where, what kind of building materials we're using and where we're building? What is true? What's plumb? What's level? Who's asking us those questions? Who's pressing into us to reveal the truth of really how we're laying the foundation? Why do I, if you will, let me just meddle a little bit. Why do I believe my friends that I just met over the family that have been with me a long period of time? Some of us who are parents kind of go, why is this happening to us? Why are the friends that they just met, they believe them way over us where we've laid down and sacrificed? Right? Why not me? What do I want to know before I die? I mean, all of these questions, what is it that we are laying down? In the third house, we need to be asking, where am I building my foundation? Our temptation truly is to build wherever we want to build. Wherever we want. Not considering the long life weathering that's going to batter our house. I mean, life's not easy. Life has tough points on it, and we kind of go, well, no, it'll be all right. It'll weather. When we know in our heads that it doesn't work. I mean, it's kind of like saying, I want to lose weight, but we continue to eat more calories than we expend. Sorry, you're a losing situation. As much as your mind might tell you that you're going to win, you're not going to win. You want to get out of debt, and you continue to buy more than you have money for. Right? It's a losing equation. But for whatever reason, we have the ability to lie to ourselves and fool ourselves and create foundations that continually shift and move. And so we have to ask the questions as believers, where is our foundation? What is our foundation made of? What is it setting on long term? Jesus had something to say about this. You would have to go figure, right? About building a foundation. Take out or turn on your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew is first of our four Gospels. The word gospel, as Ty already told us earlier, is this word that means, and it means good news. It just is simply good news or good message. So when we use the word gospel, we often mean in conversation, have you shared the gospel with them? We use that, by the way. We actually mean, have you shared the good news about Jesus Christ and that he has come for them and his love is unconditional to them and he wishes to save them from their sins? That's what we mean. Jesus' gospel was simply this. We might find this harsh if somebody was walking through the street saying this, but this is what he said. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That was his gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. We often laugh at those guys with the sandwich boards that have those up, don't we? But that was his message. It's interesting. This is what Jesus says at the end of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. So we're at this, chapter 7 is the end of Sermon on the Mount. If you're doing the right 90-day reading plan, you'll get to this next Sunday, right? You'll get to this next Sunday or Saturday, however you're doing the reading plan. But this is at the end of a message or a series of messages that Jesus stated when he was on a mountainside, and that's why it's called the Sermon on the Mount or on the mountain. He says this, therefore, and he has just given this message. This is what he's just laid down a bunch of words. He's laid a bunch of commands, a bunch of change on them. And Jesus is adding these last words for a reinforcing reason behind it. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. When there is a therefore, you have to ask yourself a question. Why is that therefore? He says, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus' intent in sharing the words prior were to be heard. Were to be heard, to be ingested, to understand them. Just like when we speak to our children, or wives when you speak to your husband, or husbands when you speak to your wife, you desire your words when you're speaking to them to be actually heard, not ignored like sometimes they are when they're, you know, their direction is somewhere else. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And here comes the weather. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. And he continues, not wanting anyone to misunderstand or interpret what he had just said to the other side. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, and I think you can put in a foolish person, who built his house on the sand, and the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. This is what one thing we need to come to understand, and we need to help not only ourselves understand this, but everybody that we come in contact with. This is what we call being a loving neighbor. This is really what we call about being a loving neighbor. When we say we love all people by telling them the truth, not just letting them do what they want. We tell them the truth. Everyone builds. Simply that, everyone's building something. Everyone builds. I mean, I think that's one of the basics that we pull out of this passage of Scripture. We all build a house. Now, we're not talking about a physical house. We're talking about the heart, our heart, our minds, and our souls. Our hearts, our minds, and our souls. If Jesus called us in Matthew 22 to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, which we are already called to do that in the Old Testament, to love our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and strength, that is the very core of who we are. It's not what we drive. It's not what we wear. It's not the makeup we put on. It's not the kind of music we listen to. It is our heart, our mind, and our soul. That's what makes us up. So the foundation and house we build is not based on what we think, what we think, what we feel, or what the world tells us we should think, feel, or be. You do understand that, right? That's what Jesus is saying here. He's like, look, everyone who hears my words puts them into my words into practice. Not the way you feel, not the way you think, not the way you want the world to turn. As much as we might like that soap opera, the world doesn't turn that way. And this is why. Because he says, look, you're designed by me. Colossians tells us that Jesus holds everything together. Genesis tells us that God said, hey, let us make them in our image. And when he says us, he does not mean just the Father. He means the Son and the Spirit too. That there's a Godhead Trinity that put us together. And if he put us together, then he knows us the best. He knows the way we're designed. And he knows our very desires. He knows how we function the best. We all want to build a house. Yet the house of our foundation of our house becomes crucial to the longevity of its very existence. And even in church world, folks, can I tell you this? That even in church world, sometimes we get our focus on the wrong things. We forget it's about Jesus, and we think it's about Well, let me just refer to the congregational meeting next week, which I want you to come to. I really do. Because there's some great thing, kingdom things that are happening and amongst us. But oftentimes we think it's more about our preferences, our feelings, and our history, our tradition, than it is about the kingdom. Jesus came to turn some things upside down, but actually to put some things right side up, to be really honest. Not to turn things upside down. He came to set some things straight for our hearts and for the world. So we have to be careful about how we lay our foundation. And Jesus is making it just emphatically clear at the end of this sermon series, if you will. Those who put my words into practice will stand the test of time, will live forever, will have life, will have hope, will have love, will have those very things that we really our hearts desire. If we build a house on sand, as he said, it will slide, it will move, it will eventually meet disaster. Yet the rock, Jesus, will weather time, all time. So Jesus is admonishing his listeners to hear what he was saying and live out his words. Here at YFM, we want to take that seriously. That's why we do the 90 days reading plan this summer. We want to be in the Word because we want to learn from Jesus' Word to live Jesus in the world. We can't do it any other way. We can't do it any other way. So we learn from God's Word to live the heart and life of Jesus. So we have a few questions that we want to ask ourselves. We're going to walk through them here briefly. Who's building your foundation? No, seriously. Who really is building your foundation? You may say, I'm here. Jesus is. No, not necessarily. How many times are you in the Word of God? Again, I don't mean to meddle, but I'm going to meddle. I mean, see, if Jesus said, my word, you put my words into practice, then you'll stand the test of times. How often do you open the Word of God and obey the Word of God over against the thoughts, feelings, and preferences of yourself, of those around you, of the influences that are contrary to Christ? So if Jesus says this to us in this passage, everyone who hears these words of mine, if we're made in the image of God, the Godhead, Jesus, the Son of God, he's giving us literally a heads up. Look, listen, I know how you are put together. I know how you will work the best. Let me tell you. So God is good. He's good. We know that. But did you know he had a sense of humor? I just love how God has a sense of humor. He just does. If you have your Bibles, turn in Mark chapter 6. You'll find this there. Check this out in Mark chapter 6. So he talks about in Matthew 7 about building a foundation. There are a lot of other passages that talk about building a foundation, but he talks about building a foundation on the rock. And then here we have in Mark chapter 6, Jesus left where they were, left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. Now he's palling around with his disciples. He's allowing them to learn Jesus so they can live Jesus. In this process, when the Sabbath came, here all began to teach. He began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed, and they said to him, "Isn't this the carpenter?" Now I don't know. I find that rather funny. We're supposed to lay our foundation in Christ, and Jesus becomes a carpenter. Humanly, okay. Guess the humor's not quite there. I think it's one of God's ways of not only putting in humor, but reminding us that he is the builder. He is the master builder of our lives, of our hearts, of the way and the ways of which we are to be living. And they say, isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. I mean, they already, you know, early in his ministry in Mark chapter 6, they're already trying to kind of go, he can't be real. This amazing teaching that he has can't be real, right? But he's like, no, Yet he was a carpenter when he was three. He was a carpenter before time began. I mean, it's an incredible thing. I mean, common laborer that Jesus was, a builder. Now, whether he was actually a woodworker or a stonemason, we could have that conversation for a little while. But it's, I think it's one of God's ways of reminding us throughout Scripture, just subtly placing Jesus in the right home, at the right place, reminding us of the foundation of which he was. So who's going to lay the foundation for you? Who's going to help you lay the foundation for your life? Jesus is stating here, he is the one to lay your foundation, and Jesus is the rock. And not only that, but he, while living on earth, was a carpenter. And trust, a hammer to his hand, a chisel to his hand in my life. Even the psalmist says this and concurs with Jesus as if he couldn't do anything else. But unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Again, if we're laying a foundation for our lives, a foundation not only for our lives, but if we have children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews, what kind of foundation are we laying in their lives? What is it that we're expressing to them from and through us to them? Jesus has the expectation that once we read and hear the truth, that you will follow the truth, or if you don't, you will perish by not doing so. So the second question is, what are the building materials for your foundation? Psalm 118:22 says this, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." We're going to see a little bit later. That's Jesus. So what material are you putting in your foundation? A little bit of Twitter, a little bit of, that new series that you got going on Netflix, layered in there with, you know, maybe a little bit of a verse for the day from the calendar that you flip over. Okay, maybe I'm meddling too far. But if we're not careful, that's the way our spirituality, that's the way our Jesus following becomes. And Jesus desires us to follow close and intimate and individually. So what are you going to build with? What material are you going to use? As kids, we would build tree houses and forts as kids all the time. We would grab stuff out of our moms and dad garages and haul it back to the woods. And yeah, every once in a while we'd go, you know, I would hear, "Steve, where is?" Right? Those forts, those tree houses, those creations that we made, we had no building trades, certificates or anything. They did not weather time. But let me ask you, is your foundation going to weather time? Is it weather tested? How do you know that it is? What materials are you laying at the foundation, and with whom are you doing it with? Third question, where are you building your foundation? Where are you building your foundation? As we saw in the picture, and as we know from Jesus' story, where you build it is very important too. Jesus makes it painfully clear where not to build, the sand. What may look like a good spot to build on based on our preferences, our feel, what we like. I mean, Kathy and I love the water. You get too close, though, and water can just wipe you out. As we know, in the tragedy this week, if somebody lost their lives in the Huron, maybe a couple of people have lost their lives in the Huron River. Water is dangerous, right? And when we lay our foundations too close to water, not only do we take in water when we get too much water, but we also have the ability to wash away our foundation and move our whole house to a place where it might sink. So if our hearts are the wellspring of life, which Scripture tells us it is, and God tells us to guard it, then we must surrender and submit to him where we will build our hearts home. Jesus tells us this. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And yet sometimes, somehow, we get in our minds that there's got to be some other ways to get to the Father. So we start to dovetail other ways that he has created, where we can build our house. And he says, no, no other way can you come to the Father except through me. Our foundation is to be laid with and on the foundation of Jesus Christ as a cornerstone. Ephesians 2 says this to us. Paul writes this clearly. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, maybe you're not familiar with building, and I am not so much familiar with building, but I understand that when you have a cornerstone on the building, it is what carries the plumb. It's what carries things to be level. It carries things to be straight for everything else off from it. And so when we put Jesus Christ as our chief cornerstone, we know that the materials we're using, the place we're building, and who we're building with has all been accomplished with one surrender, one submission, one willingness to be his. So Jesus is called to be those who want to live on in him and with him to be our chief cornerstone. Yet, friends, I ask you, where are you building? You see, a lot of us, if we're not careful, we find that building away from other family and friends who are in community with Jesus is where we find ourselves most often. We spend most of our time at work. Most of us do, a lot of time at work. We spend maybe 7 or 8 hours sleeping, some of us, if God is good, right? And we spend very little time with other believers who are helping to build our house with us. That's dangerous. Can I just speak into that? This may be a little bit off, a little bit out to the side, and a little bit meddling. But I think that's what Jesus intended. I think Jesus intended for believers to hang with other believers and to bring others with them into that to show and share and demonstrate what solid foundations look like. And yet when we are sporadic with our connections with other believers, whether in small group or gathering, We become susceptible to materials and building materials to build our house that are less than godly, because we're not called to live this God life in isolation or sporadically. We were called to live in community continually, allowing and bringing other people into that community who need to see and experience the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. So if being with other Christians has become an option in your mind, I'm not sure that that's the biblical directive. I don't think Jesus wants us to live that way. Jesus, he said to 12 people, he said, hey, I want you to be my disciples. He said, come, follow me. And when they were together intimately in community. And when they walked together, they changed the atmosphere of the communities walked in. When they walked together, they changed people's lives. When they walked together, people were healed. When they walked together, people's lives were brought into wholeness of what we sang earlier. When we do it individually, it doesn't mean that Jesus is apart from us. When we do it individually, we do not have the power, the resources, God's desire, or his design. And so I think not only is it's vastly important who's laying the foundation with you, Jesus. I think it's vastly important what materials you lay with, Jesus. But I also think it's vastly important where you build. And in the world and the culture in which we live, where we build, then I think infiltrates back to or influences back to the type of materials we use, and who we allow to build with us. So being in a small group, coming to a gathering, being in prayer together is vastly important to us. So there are some things in life that we often do that help to influence us so that we can grow in Jesus, that we can lay the foundation the way it should be laid. I want to ask Andrew Richardson to come up. We have this opportunity this morning. He and his cousin Brendan are going to go on a mission trip. We're going to pray over him in a few minutes. But I believe that one of the places that... Yeah, you want to grab the mic? Good job. So one of the places that we're able to lay a foundation that helps to influence us and to use right building materials is to do the very things that Jesus has called us to do. In Matthew 28, he told us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you. Right? He's told not just pastors to do that. He has told us all to be a part of that. And when we intentionally involve ourselves in activities like that, we then participate with the who is building your foundation. We start to really wrestle with the what kind of foundation am I building with? What am I going to build with that's going to lead me to kingdom goals, that's going to lead me to seeing people come to know Jesus, lives change, communities transform? And then it's also going to lead me, where am I going to do this? Where are the places that are going to allow me to build that foundation that will then springboard me, catapult me, train me, and put into practice what Jesus has done? Well, Andrew has decided to do that in a real way, in a rubber meets the road type of way, if you will. And he's going on a mission trip. So why don't you just, you want to go on a mission trip, tell us where you're going, why you're going.
Okay, so I am going down to Cuba. I leave next Sunday. We will be going to Santa Clara, Cuba. And so part of the reason why I want to go on this trip is I feel like in the past year or so, I've just really been learning and understanding and feeling God's love that he has for us. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless God or love that, like we sang about today. And just as I've been experiencing that, feeling that makes me want to share it with others. And so, like, God's been telling me to share that love with others and teach them about it and teach them about God. And as most of you guys know, Cuba was a pretty close country for a while now. And just recently, due to, like, shifts in the country, they have opened up and people have access to go to Cuba now. And what missionaries have found is this, like, this hunger for this love of God down in Cuba. And the people just are hungering for that. So I have an opportunity to share it with them.
So what are you hoping to live out for Jesus there? What are you going to be doing? What do you hope to be able to impart?
Yeah, so when we're down there, we're going to be partnering with a church. And we'll be doing relational missions. So we'll just be going out into the community and sharing God's love and helping him with projects around the house and just teaching him about God and what he has for us.
So is there any training to this, Andrew? Did they just kind of send you to the streets? Or?
There's not much training. We've had like a little bit of information that they've given us and some information about the culture and the people. But it's been sort of like in the dark, a lot of the information, but just praying about it and praying for each other and just... relying on the Lord in the situation and relying on the Holy Spirit to speak through us as we go down there and talk to the people and share with them.
Yeah, so does that make you a little apprehensive, or does that help? I mean, you know, not knowing everything, you know, maybe a little more training would help. I mean, does that kind of make you want to pull back a little bit?
Not really. Something that I've learned is just to trust in the Lord and just give everything over to him, and so you don't have to worry about everything because he's got a plan for us and he'll take care of us once we're down there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely, you know, when we surrender and submit ourselves to Jesus, there is definitely this place where we have to kind of let go of what we think, what we feel, right? Our preferences. And a missions trip like this and others that many of you are going to go on, I trust and I pray, will allow that opportunity, but everyday life allows that. So what are you hoping to learn from Jesus through this trip?
Yeah, so I shared about, like, that passion of sharing that love that God has shown me. But that's not only in Cuba, but like also back here in Ypsilanti and like our communities around here, sharing that love here. So just seeing how we can share it down there and experience like the culture of Cuba down there with them, and then bringing that back here so we can share it back here also.
Yeah. What's incredible is when we put ourselves in a place where we start to lay a foundation, we put ourselves in a risky place. Let's just be honest. When we start to lay a foundation for Jesus, it's not free of risk. In fact, it's full of risk. Yet the promise of a God, we've talked about this many times over, the promise of a promise keeper God is awesome. That he's going to walk into that and fulfill those opportunities that are before their team. Now I'm going to ask that Andrew and Brendan, we're going to take a little pause, if you will. We're going to come back to my message, but we want to pray for Brendan and for Andrew as they go. So Brendan, if you would come up, I'd like to have the family come up too, and we're going to lay our hands on you and pray for you as you plan to go. Yeah. Good. Yeah, you can just stand here. That's good. So as we've done before many times, if you, you know, since you're not up here, if you want to just reach your hand out as if you were here standing next to him and pray over him, we're gonna pray over them now. Father God, we thank you for the adventures that you lay out before us. I think of Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 being called and being sent out. Father, we lay our hands on Andrew and Brendan. We ask, Lord, that you would use them as you have designed them and you desire to use them. Father, that your spirit would fill them. We're not asking necessarily to keep them safe in terms of the safe that we understand, but Father, we're asking that you would stretch them, that you would grow them in their faith, that they would walk into an opportunity that would just catapult them into a greater understanding of your love, of your goodness, of how good you are to them. Lord, you have called us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we're sending Andrew and Brendan, and we're asking, Lord, that they would see your mighty hand at work in their midst. Father, that you would open their hearts in greater ways, that, Father, people would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior because of going. You said that that would happen. We're grateful for that. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to weave through all of the facets of the trip that are known and unknown. We surrender them to you to do your greater work of the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Great. Thanks. So as they find their way back to their seats, I want to ask you just a few questions as we conclude this message. Who's building your foundation? Who is building your foundation? What are the building materials for your foundation? And where are you building your foundation? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your love. We sang about it earlier. We're going to sing about it again. The love that did not let us live in our waste, but sought us and bought us, bringing us the truth to lay a foundation of life, not death. Jesus spoke those words to bring life into us. Father, would you allow that truth to resonate in us? Yet some of us, while we may know that in our heads, yet some of us are mixing our materials of our foundations, not understanding, and we're underestimating your truth and your holiness. Father, call us to repentance. If we're mixing our materials for our foundations, a foundation that won't last. Some of us are laying our foundations on the sands around us, what we feel, what we think, maybe our culture. Father, redeem us from that, would you? Father, that we would put into practice what Jesus has said and what he wishes for us to lay a foundation for. And some of us are laying our own foundations. We have not surrendered, nor have we submitted ourselves to you. And your design and desire is that we would surrender ourselves, our minds, our hearts, and our souls to you the way you created us. Father, in these moments, would you prompt us by your Holy Spirit to come to you? If you are in any one of those places this morning, Would you just cry out to the Lord to forgive you, to redeem you from your sin? If you've never said yes to Jesus before, this could be your prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace found in and through Jesus. Save and forgive me from my sins. I give you my life and choose to follow, love, and live for you. Father, we're grateful for the love that you have for us. We give you our attention, our lives, our wills. In Jesus' name, amen.